A warning to listeners or readers. The following content may at times include details about abuse, rape, suicide, domestic violence, and other types of trauma that may be emotionally confronting or triggering.
Welcome to Raised by an Invisible Village, where we unbundle the incredible power of the people who influence our lives. I'm Kathy Houlihan, your host, who will be guiding you on a very personal transformative journey. My personal story of uncovering the diverse characters that made up my invisible village, who together enabled acceptance, growth, and success. This continued fireside lounge room chat, we were so much more relaxed in our conversation, as by now we had been talking for over an hour, forgetting that there was a camera and microphone. The rawness of emotion and the realness of our invisible village at Matthew Cottage was coming to the surface. The normalising of child behaviour with our little six-year-old foster sister becoming jealous of other babies coming in and out, to the joy of being on numerous camping trips all together. We all cherish this time of our lives, and whilst there is a sadness that separated us in the end, the time that we had together has to this day been made up of amazing memories. On this visit to Canberra, we spent almost every day for 2 weeks with Sheila and Wayne, an incredible opportunity to spend quality time and share so much of our history together in Matthew Cottage, but also to chat and catch up on other parts of our lives where we weren't together. It was also on this visit that I finally met Tracy, Sheila and Wayne's eldest daughter. What a blessed feeling to have not only met her, but their other daughter, Alison, who had previously met, and call them sisters. A sense of comfort to know how deep those feelings are, to have so many that there were and continue to be in my invisible village. I hope you enjoy part two of our very relaxed, candid and emotional conversation.
If you had to think of some highlights, what do you reckon would be some of highlights of Matthew Cottage?
Just with our core of five, it was like a family. Yeah. Everybody just grew together, didn't they?
Yeah.
Everybody looked out for one another.
Yeah.
And they had nothing to do with each other before they came in.
Yeah.
And everybody else was, that was very jealous of any young baby that came in because she was the little one. She was the 6-year-old. Yeah. Any baby that came in, she said.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. But she was good because I remember some policemen, two policemen came in with a baby once and I was sitting out in the, on the grass with this baby and come out to look it over. And I said, do you want to go in and get an ice cream for you and one for the baby? She was off. And the baby sat there and ate the ice cream and we talked to the coppers and away we went. It was very casual, I guess, that way. But, yeah, it was the core and the
feeling of family.
The feeling of family.
Yeah, that's what it was.
My biggest feel.
And both our girls came out and they felt the same way.
Yeah.
They really did. They loved it. We always... We always say that was one of the best times in our lives. Out there with you kids.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
But
it was for me too. And I think all us girls somehow still keep contact. Except obviously one that we don't know, but we're always asking about where she is.
I dreamt about her the other night.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it'd be nice to have some closure and know where she is.
Yeah, it would do. In fact, it
after we finished our trip around to West Australia, back to Port Augusta, we either came back to Alice Springs. We got in touch with phone because at that stage there was a vacancy coming out of one of the cottages at St Mary's.
Yeah.
Oh,
Forest
Prison. Was the
Forest Prison.
Oh, so it must have been part of the St Mary's.
And but that vacancy had been filled.
Okay.
Just continue on to Canberra.
Just so everyone knows, that is a hub. Coffee,
to Brisbane, then we had a phone call from Anne Brown, who was the boss of welfare. Do you want to come back and want to come and work at Cottage? Yep.
Yeah, okay. So that's how you ended up back in Alice Springs.
Yeah.
That was Forest Crescent, so yes, it must have been under Wilfie.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it didn't last there very long.
Yeah, Forest Crescent.
Yeah,
no. That's when we moved out to that flat that was on top of Betty Egan's place.
Yeah,
and then rang me and said, there's a vacancy at Welfare. Are you interested? Went straight in. Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, okay.
So I went in there and became a welfare officer. And I said, I want her. You'd gone.
Yeah.
And I said, I want all the Aboriginal kids that we had in Alice Springs.
Yeah.
That we had in the cottage.
Well, I would have been in Perth then.
Yeah.
Which is also a really interesting thing because do you remember when I became an award of the state?
No. Did I go to court?
Yeah, you were with me in court.
Was I?
Yeah. Yeah. And Mum and Dad sat in the back, in the seats behind. I don't know why I had to actually go to court, but I remember going to court.
Well, to be made award of the state.
Yeah. And you know what? Thank goodness that that was done. And I'm pretty sure you were probably someone behind the scenes supporting to make that happen. Because when we had the new house parents come, they really wanted me to go back home.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't become a ward of the state, that probably is what would have happened to me. But they had to find a placement for me instead.
Was that a good placement?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't think they really checked people out much.
No. I mean, they were nice people. They weren't cruel, but it just wasn't what we had together at Matthew College.
Well,
you know, like, it's so hard to compare something else because it just wasn't what we had at Matthew College, which was a family.
Yeah, it was.
And we did so many amazing things together, you know, like camping and...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Chain pillar. We had, because we went in your ute.
Yeah.
And all the back, the tray was all full of all the camping stuff. And I were in the back.
All of us kids.
Yeah.
And because it was a red dirt road and having blonde hair, I always remember my hair was just red from the dust.
Well, I didn't realise as we drove along that the
dust was all coming in the back.
Yeah, that chain was filled. I cut a couple of holes in the canopy.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, so that air would blow through and stop the...
Probably dragging on red dirt.
Us going out there and we just slept under the stars.
Yeah.
And I remember how, did we have a fire? We'd have had a fire.
Oh, yeah, we had a fire.
And we climbed the chamber or tried to climb the chamber.
Well, you walked around the base.
Yeah. Because it was a few hours out of Alice Springs.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, there was so many incredible happy highlights and there were also some really sad moments. And why I'm telling my story is that I hope that it will vibrate for many other people and give them inspiration or reflection on the power of their invisible village and the role they play. I think of my time with you both, my gratitude and learning are more than a few. You accepted me as I was. You believed my story. My growth came from helping me get my first job, developing survival skills. We were in the back of a ute going out to chain a pillar and we survived.
I only had to put the four-wheel drive once.
Oh, that's so funny. You just couldn't do that now, eh? But seeing so many fun memories. And I think this is the biggest one out of all of those, although they're all really important. You protected me and stood up for me. And there's numerous examples of when my mental welfare was looked after. So when I was kind of putting this together, you know, preparing for our conversation, what were some of those things in terms of belief, what I just talked about? Hadn't been physically abused, but the mental abuse that had come from being in a deeply religious family was clear. And there was very little people that could really truly understand that trauma, my growth. There was something that you obviously identified in me, in helping me with my confidence.
Or, yeah, you had
that. What was it that you kind of recognised? Well, one, help me get the job at Blue Cottage. There must have been something that you both saw in me.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Well,
you were mature, responsible.
You were mature. We could rely on you. There was no suspicious behaviour on your part whatsoever.
Yeah.
and your true, true blue Reggie Ditch. well, we didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But you were such a help in the cottage too. It was just like you were a second mum.
Yeah.
It was with the kids and stuff. Yeah. And that's what you wanted to do. You just wanted to get in there and do a lot with the babies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's the interesting thing. Like when you're made out, and you would have felt this having a religious family, when you're made out to be a bad child or something from the devil, when other people actually believe in you, and I wasn't actually a bad, I wasn't, you know, a drug addict, or I wasn't, you know, breaking and entering and, you know, I wasn't stealing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Always had that, you were capable, you felt like you seemed
confident.
Confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, you appeared confident.
Yeah.
Whether you were or not, I don't know. But,
well, it was something that was familiar to me, obviously being the eldest of five kids, and I talk about this in the other episodes as well, and having a mother that was sick for most of my life.
Was she?
Yeah.
And she's still alive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Has your relationship grown closer?
With my
your mum?
No, not at all. No. Especially because I choose not to be a Jehovah's Witness. And part of their religious belief is that anyone that chooses not to be a Jehovah's Witness, you're disassociated with fellowships.
Isn't it funny that in all our cases, we had mothers that were different?
Yeah. Yeah, because you've got your own experience.
Yeah.
Your own mother.
I'm the only one who can remember being tickled and being happy with my mother.
Yeah.
And I was probably six or seven when that was the last time I had.
Really?
Mm.
So in terms of you feeling that you had the feeling of a mother who loved you and wrapped her arms around you.
See, the other kids did.
Yeah, really.
Because they were too young to remember that sort of episode.
Yeah, okay.
It might not have happened to them either. They might not have been cherished and tickled and...
No.
Don't remember my mother or father kissing me or hugging me or touching me.
Yeah, I was crying.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Oh, no, I never had a hug with Dad. He was over there, you know.
That was Dad.
It's a generation thing too, do you think?
Could have been.
Mum was just a nasty lady.
Yeah.
I think if Dad had married, I mean, Dad was a woman's man. He was always surrounded by women in any photos. If he'd have married somebody else, I think our lives would have been totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally different.
But then you might not have the experience that you have now to have done what you did for us. I don't know.
Yeah.
So what was that?
Like if your pathway had been different, would you have done what you've done?
Yes.
In your, you think you would have generosity, emotionally, physically, and financially from you guys is just insanely incredible.
We were paid for St. Mary's. We weren't paid for Joseph's place.
Yeah.
But
you still sacrificed, like you lived in the house 24/7.
Yeah.
I only have a handful of weekend moments of you not being there.
Yeah.
So you were there 24/7. So you're expecting you got paid for it all.
Oh, yeah.
There was still a huge sacrifice, and I'm sure you weren't paid, you know, a gazillion dollars.
We'd put money into the house every fortnight.
There you go. See?
Extra funding just to make sure that everybody lived. So above the bread line.
So we could eat more than mashed potato and tomato sauce.
Yeah. We had a lot of that too.
Well, that was kind of the staple diet.
There was a lot of money in that. Like there was a lot of, each child was worth so much. And I can't remember. I haven't got a clue how much.
Yeah,
but if you had seven kids, you had a lot of money to spend. And then with the money that we'd put in, it was never short of money. Whereas Joseph's place here, if somebody from the church gave us $10, we thought we were rich.
Yeah, wow.
Because Wayne was working full time, I was working part time, and the kids were just...
And you stayed in that house too, like the similar situation. You stayed there.
Mm,
yeah, wow.
I remember being in the shower there one night, and the boy went, let's go into the bathroom. She's in the shower.
Wow.
You do that? You're out near here, you find somewhere else to sleep tonight. Oh, shit. Because that was, you know, there was only one bathroom. It was two toilets, but it was all boys.
So had you done anything like that before that house? Like, had you worked in welfare or anything associated with welfare?
No.
So that house that you talk about at Queanbeyan.
Joseph's Place.
Joseph's Place was your first experience working with
teenagers. Although kids we always had a house full of teenagers when mine started up a bike group and stuff, and there was always probably more boys than women. Yeah, we're just comfortable around.
So what motivated you to do that?
Woke up one morning, I said to him, I think we should be down there because Rick was getting married. He wasn't staying. And Michael had no one else to run. And he said, yeah, I'm the same way too.
But we found out while they were homeless because little bastards wanted to be homeless.
Some of them. No, we always ran the rule, if you steal anything, you take it back, or we go to the cop shop, blah, blah, you know.
And that's why we were a dream when you came to Matthew Cottage. Dream. Us kids are a dream. When I talk about survival skills, rain, hail or shine, I had to get on my bike to ride out
there. And how often did it rain out there?
Oh, not very often. But it used to be like about 10 kilometres out of town. I remember that. And I'd go sleep over at someone's house and I'd still ride out there. Wait, so do you remember you preventing me or creating a way that I didn't have to go to court for the rape court? Right. Case?
No, I remember we went to see a solicitor, you and I.
When I was living with my auntie, we had to go to a hearing in Katherine.
Right.
And then I was supposed to go to the actual court case, like the whatever you call it, the big court in Darwin.
Supreme
Court, that's what I'm trying to say. But for some reason, and I distinctly can see you sitting on the phone talking to someone and you're hanging up the phone and you're saying to me, you don't have to go to court.
Isn't that interesting? I don't remember that at all. I wonder who I was talking to.
Yeah.
Well, it would have had to have been someone from court or some solicitor or some legal person. Yeah.
And that I could present being a witness in an affidavit. And not have to go
right.
To court.
Okay, that's starting to ring a little bit.
Yeah, because the court, the hearing had traumatized me so much. My auntie actually sat in the box with me.
Really?
Yeah, and so I distinctly remember.
Well, you wouldn't have been very old, would you?
No, 13. So I guess in terms of, you know, grateful for that level of protection that you went to extraordinary lengths to protect my mental health. Do you remember them visiting?
Yeah.
Apart from, because they're, and that's why I remember it, because it was their wedding anniversary, and the only thing they celebrate is their wedding anniversary, and that was November the 1st.
Yeah.
So I'd started out at Blue Cottage, and yes, it was one of my first pays, and I'd bought them the plant and the flower. And I remember them coming to the house, and I remember us standing in the living kind of area.
Yeah, that little area at the front.
At the front. And I remember, because I hadn't seen them for whatever month, I don't think I've seen them since I've moved in there. And then I gave them their gifts.
They didn't take it.
No, they took them. They took them.
They take it?
Yep, and I remember them going to my room, crying. And then I remember you coming in shortly after and saying, Kathy, they brought the plant back.
No. I don't remember it that way.
Don't you?
No. I remember them driving back out, him going off at me because I'd rigged this up. I'd told you something about him, blah, blah, blah. They drove out, turned left, went down the street, and you went racing out after them, and I heard smashing glass. So did you give them something with glass?
No, it was a pot plant because I followed you out to the road.
Yeah, I remember smashing the pot plant because we used to have that laneway beside the house, remember?
Yeah.
And one of my friends was actually riding his bike. He remembers me smashing the plant and nearly hitting on his bike.
You want to be careful this doesn't drag you down too. Or did you not?
I'm actually really okay with talking about it. And actually one of the episodes that I've just written, I talk about dissociation, amnesia, where I've actually really disassociated from the trauma and I look at it like it's happening to somebody else.
All right.
Mm. And I've gone through my own, I guess, my own journey in therapy. One of the therapies that I did, which was around 30, 35, was where it's a physical and cognitive therapy that almost like defrags your brain.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that it hasn't been challenging, and certainly there's been some episodes that are really challenging to talk about, but if I don't bring that into the story, it's not actually a true representation of the journey I've had to go through to get to where I am, but it's also the recognition of the different characters that have been in my invisible village that have created some safe places for me to get to the next phase in life.
I remember you and I sitting at the front one day having a cigarette. Something else your father blamed me for. You were smoking long before you came
down. Yeah, yeah.
And you said to me, I don't know what's going on. You said, Lee told me I should be feeling this, that, and the other thing from what happened to me. And I said, well, does she know what happened to you? And you said, well, not really. And you said that you were unconscious or something at the time?
Yeah.
So how could you feel those feelings?
Yeah.
And that's a stupid bloody bitch. They honestly did not look into why you were there.
Isn't that crazy?
She didn't know.
Well, it seems like they weren't really
interested.
Welfare officers. They were just drawing a pay.
Yeah, I only remember a couple of times. I don't remember ever having a one-on-one. Like, I do remember after that episode with the plant and my parents, Jill coming, taking me for a drive out of Alice Springs, and we were, like, just in the bush, and she said to get out of the car and just, like,
she's a lovely lady.
Scream. Yeah, I just really remember her being really gentle.
You know, she was a victim of domestic violence.
Yeah, no, you told me that in the morning.
I said to her one day, I've had enough of these kids. There was a couple of kids that came in the room. I said, I can't get them into the bath. I can't do anything with them at night. She said, I'll be around. She came around, plonked one in the bath. We got them done.
How funny.
Yeah. She was a sweetie.
But do you remember the our
I'm waiting to see if you've
written. I can't think it was about 7 of us girls or 10 of us girls.
You went? Went with them somewhere?
Yeah, we went out to Ormiston Gorge or one of the gorges.
Right.
And we camped there the night and encouraged us and talked us into getting our clothes off and jumping in the
water.
In the water.
At where?
One of the gorges.
God, that would have been freezing.
Yeah, it was freezing.
She also had to talk to you about lesbianism.
Yeah, I remember this conversation after we got back. Because we went through, he was on that trip too, getting some bush, what were they called? Bush bananas or?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just remember just showing us a whole bunch of different bush food. So it was like about 3 days or something.
Yeah.
And then we've come back and I remember us sitting around the table. I don't know which girls were there, but we were talking about this episode of where we were jumping off the rock and encouraged to take our clothes off. And you were like, you know, Lee's a lesbian. We made her, she made us take our clothes off.
Couldn't see her doing that either, taking her clothes off.
Oh, we were all in shame. Like, yeah. We weren't taking our clothes off, but somehow we managed to get our clothes off and we were jumping.
And going.
No, you think back and you go, fuck, how bad is that? So there were, you know, a few things that we did get up to. Do you remember us jumping out of the window?
No.
And meeting somebody in the park?
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me. There's always voices coming from the park.
But do you remember when I was taken to Giles' house?
Just for a look around?
Yeah.
You and someone else.
Oh, Giles'
house. Giles' house was the youth detention centre.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they took them there to show them what they were in for.
I don't know whether that took me there, but there definitely was somebody else.
You're not a girl.
And I remember being told, or we were told, that if we didn't pull our socks up and start behaving, this is where we were going to go. Scared the shit out of me. Jiggy. That always stayed in my mind and it always made me think of it was a good kind of preventative. Mm. So when one of my sons started going on his own pathway, I got, he didn't actually go to Big House to have a look, but I had a friend whose husband was a copper and
mm.
they had a nice little conversation together mm. and stopped him. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you sharing
all Did we do different enough? Experiences.
I think so. I think there's some amazing things in there. And, you know, I guess we've talked about a lot of these things. There's probably a few things in there that we haven't really talked about before, but most of those things, yeah, we've talked about. And I think it's for me, it's just really comforting to know that I have a very strong connection and a feeling that that was my family.
Mm.
And so I think...
As we do.
I think that yeah. it's a really beautiful yeah. thing that's come out of this is that yeah. you both felt the same way. So yeah. it wasn't a one way, it was actually real.
Yeah, yeah. it was real. And the other girls seemed to feel that too.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
We feel like regardless, you lot as our girls.
Our girls, yeah.
And how special is that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Things that yeah. will stay with us for, well, they've stayed with me forever. I'm sure they've stayed with the What's other that? Girls. That feeling
oh, of yeah, yeah.
acceptance, growth.
Mm. That's Dave. Like, we were on the computer there one day and he said something about, you and Dusty have got no idea what you did for me. And I said, oh, bullshit. I mean, he came to live with us afterwards. No yeah. one trusted him. His mother used to tie him to his bed.
Yeah.
And we saw the potential in that kid.
Yeah.
He's no kid now. He's 50 years old, like you.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was just like that. But yeah. he said, well, I bet those girls in Alice Springs feel the same way.
Yeah.
I said, well, we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a really...
Well, thank you for being part of my invisible village.
Oh, thank you for asking us to be invisible image.
Thank you for listening to our conversation. Both Sheila and Wayne were incredibly nervous and expressed how they were so concerned about not wanting to let me down. So how incredibly grateful I was when we arrived to start recording, they both had jotted down notes in preparation. The actual conversation went for over 2 years. And even through all of that, at 50 years of age, Sheila was still concerned that my going back into the past would impact on my mental health. This journey back in time has helped me relive so many wonderful memories, some of which I had forgotten, but the one thing I had always held in my heart was the amazing phase of our lives that Sheila and Wade had given all of us kids, our very own village of safety and acceptance. I invite and welcome you into the next episode of my story, Raised by an Invisible Village, creating a safe and connected space for you and I. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the series Raised by an Invisible Village, and these real life stories have provided you with the opportunity to reflect about your own invisible village, a moment in time to uncover those who accept you, support your growth, and celebrate your success, and the recognition that you also are a character in someone else's invisible village, and how important our roles are as mentors, influencers, and champions. I'd love to stay connected and encourage you and others to join me by subscribing to my podcast channels. Together, we can continue to recognize the power of our invisible village for acceptance, growth, and success.